to welcome you to another episode of Money Matters Top Tips for Success, where each and every day I bring on new business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and have them share their top tips for success with you. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, moneymatterstoptips.com, and click on Become an Author to apply. All right, so today I have Jessica Jackley on the line, and she is the Chief Impact Officer over at Aspiration. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm excited to get more into what you're doing over at Aspiration, but before we do that, let's get a little bit more into your background. So how did you get started in your career and in business?
I guess I'd qualify it first by saying I don't think of myself as having a quote-unquote career in business. What I've tried to do is work on things I believe in. I'm pretty agnostic as to whether they're technically business or not. There's for-profits, non-profits, and everything in between. And I have tried to build or contribute to the creation and growth of projects that mean something to me. So way back when I was in my early 20s, the first thing I started was a nonprofit called Kiva, because I was really drawn to the potential for telling a different story, and in response to that different story of poverty and potential, conjuring a different response from others to respond. So instead of a sort of traditional, you know, well-intentioned, but I think a really limited story of the poor, so to speak, from well-intentioned nonprofits, it's focused on sadness and suffering and desperation and hopelessness, I wanted to tell a different story of potential and entrepreneurship, quite frankly. And so working with a lot of wonderful entrepreneurs who had really just started things, started goat herders, seamstresses, small restaurant owners, all sorts of very micro enterprise kind of activities. I worked with a bunch of folks that had been given $100 to start or grow those activities into businesses that could have, create a sustainable livelihood for themselves and their families, and to connect those with people who might be willing to lend $25 or more to them at zero interest to the lender. And so that turned into Kiva. The first round of loans we did way back in 2005 was about $3,000 to seven people. The next year, we facilitated about $15 million in loans. The next year was 40, the next 100. Kiva crossed $1 billion a few years ago in loans. Again, these $25 bits to people all over the planet doing their best to, you know, to provide for their families and to build sustainable, even if small, enterprises. So that was that kickstarted my career generally. And then since then, I've done a bunch of other things. I started for-profits. I've done investing at the seed stage with forward-thinking, you know, collaborative consumption focused companies like Lyft and Skillshare and TaskRabbit and a bunch of others, Kickstarter. And then, you know, I wrote a book myself a few years back, and I've done a number of different things. I do a lot of speaking, but most recently, I can just fast forward to the present, I'm working at Aspiration as Chief Impact Officer.
That's awesome. I love your story. And what I love about it is you really focused on, of course, you had a purpose behind. And I like your point about whether it's, you know, nonprofit, for-profit, whatever, anything in between. There's a lot of different ways to go at it and to pursuing a purpose-filled, or even for some businesses, a double bottom line, right, type of business, to where they're looking at their impact and also along with the dollars. That being said, you know, there's some younger entrepreneurs listening that have ideas that, you know, they want to make a difference in the world. They have a specific, let's say, socioeconomic maybe impact they want to make, like you did with your first enterprise. But they don't know exactly how to go from, because it's not an easy thing to go from idea to actually seeing that idea realized. What kind of advice would you give them on kind of crossing over that point?
I'd say do your homework, be responsible. Don't experiment in ways that could be risky or damaging to people. But otherwise, get something out there. Be scrappy. Mm-hmm. Iterate. So if you want to build something that serves, you know, kids between the ages of 13 and 18, like, start talking to families, start understanding as deeply as you can what your users want and need, and test it out, like build the cheapest, you know, MVP that you can, get it out there and learn. Because I see a lot of people still spending too much time in the planning phase and doing, I think, a pretty old-fashioned, like old-school approach of waiting until $1 million is raised before they do anything, you know, out in the world before they learn. And there's so much that you can do on your own, and it'll teach you more in, you know, days of just kind of talking to people, experimenting, getting some feedback on a minimum viable product, like I said, than you will researching and building this business plan out to the umpteenth detail. So I just say be more action oriented. And I guess additionally, I notice often the same people that end up waiting, in my opinion, too long to begin are the ones that have an idea that business needs to be, an enterprise needs to be a certain thing. It needs to be a certain size. It needs to grow to a certain, scale to matter. It needs to have a particular kind of culture or limitations, honestly, on what the value it brings to the world has to be. And it's mostly just bottom line focused. So I just say, never apologize for small beginnings. That's how everything starts. And you'll be better and smarter and more efficient and more valuable in the world if you just get out there and get learning as soon as possible.
That's awesome. I love that advice. Let's switch it up a bit, Jessica. Let's get more into what you're doing as Chief Impact Officer over at Aspiration. So first, tell me a little bit more about Aspiration, please.
Sure. Aspiration is a financial firm that prioritizes sustainability, social impact, and obviously financial wellness for our customers. And we don't believe there's any trade-off at all in those things. So one of the most basic and fundamental aspects and things that we offer are fossil fuel free, firearm free, private prison, sounds crazy to have to say that, but you do, free, and political campaign free spending and savings accounts, as well as investment options. We offer additional screens on other socially responsible investment options, but we want it to be accessible to the retail American bank account holder. So, for example, on the investment side, the minimum is $10 to get involved and to start to, build a sustainable green portfolio. And on top of that, there are all these other layers of impact that are really meaningful and I think could be potentially game-changing for folks. So as an example, when you use our debit card, we've done our best, this is kind of under my heading, we've done our best to map the world and map businesses, especially ones the most valuable and most frequently used by our customers, with a score, 1 to 100, that tells you really easily, how that business treats people and planet. When I summarize with people and planet, people think workers, community, human rights policies, just customers, like are they true to their customers? Do they treat people well? And then the other half is planet. I mean, what does their supply chain look like? How do they deal with their waste? What are their policies? Are they a green company by any stretch, or are they contributing to climate destruction? So we give that information, and it comes as a push notification as you're swiping your card. So it's pretty powerful, and I think we're launching a new and updated version of that in a few weeks. But to be able to have a steady drip of information to folks, I believe, could really unlock, the power of every dollar that people choose to spend and wake all of us up from the sort of stupor, like the being asleep at the wheel of our own consumption. And I hope that slow, steady education can, in the end, the vision is we all choose to support the good guys, not the bad guys, not the ones that are cutting corners and cheating their way at all of our costs, at the cost of all of us and of our planet, to have quick wins. So that's
awesome.
A little bit about what we're doing.
No, that's great. Are there any kind of trends that you're noticing? And I know you operate in a big space, but I also know that you have a unique vantage point, right? How long you've been kind of in that niche. Any kind of trends that you care to comment on in general?
In where? I'm sorry. I don't understand the question.
So in your space of really social impact investing and where you're going with this.
Oh, I guess the highest level thing I'd say would be I know that some people, I think it's pretty easy to gauge in a quick conversation with folks whether or not they will, honestly, their initiatives, the company will be around in a decade. So when I talk to people who think it's really nice and, good for you, what a bleeding heart when I talk about this stuff, I think, you don't understand. This isn't optional. This isn't a nice to have. Like companies that are not asking and answering questions about long-term sustainability mm-hmm. are missing a whole set of very real risks to consider, mm-hmm. and they will be left behind. So I actually think talk of social impact and social entrepreneurship and social responsibility, I actually think it's going to be so obvious sooner than later mm-hmm. that the company's not, you know, what we call right now, we say companies being so proactive and so thoughtful about these things. Yeah, they're just being smart. You can't mm-hmm. put your head in the sand and pretend that these things aren't happening. And also, if you actually look at the data, what blows my mind is the data is there that says not only is there zero compromise, but these are the companies that are winning in the long term, like investing and supporting mm-hmm. and consuming from these companies that are thoughtful about their stewardship of our resources and as, you know, human and otherwise, like those are the companies that are winning. And if you ignore that stuff, there's data that tells you you're going to be in trouble. So I guess I'd say I get less and less of the sort of pat on the head, good for you, how nice. And I'm glad that that's diminishing.
Awesome.
And I'm happy to meet people where they are and talk to them about like why their view might be quite outdated, but I'm hoping more and more that won't be needed. And it's going to be, it'll be as obvious as, I get my analogy straight, but it'll be, you won't
as obvious. It'll be as obvious as how McDonald's was able to grow through systemization. There you go.
Yeah.
Like it's gonna be like, well, yeah. If you want to be sustainable and big long term, like you're gonna have to do this stuff. Once upon a time, this isn't that long ago, a decade maybe less ago. You know, just also thinking about the big mutual funds and
exactly.
the other of the
you
world,
know,
like investing.
Like...
Go ahead, give me it.
No, you're right. You're right. It's like how. I feel like a decade ago, people were talking about diversity like it was this sparkly, amazing.
Yeah.
Like, wow, how good of you to consider including.
I love your pat on the head analogy too. Yeah, like oh, how
yeah,
nice.
I mean, yeah. So I'm like, as if you, the tone of my voice is like, I'm not, you know, messing around here. I don't have a lot of patience these days for people that say, really though, like, shouldn't I just put all my money in oil? Like, no, you shouldn't. That's dumb. Move on.
Oh, I love it. So Jessica, if somebody's listening to this and you got them fired up and they want to learn more about Aspiration, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Just the website, aspiration.com.
Okay, great. And again, that was aspiration.com. And also, before I forget, what's your book and where can people get it?
Yeah, my book is published by Penguin Random House. It's called Clay, Water, Brick. Finding Inspiration from Entrepreneurs Who Do the Most with the Least. It sort of tells the story of my own journey as well as the journeys of really meaningful and inspiring entrepreneurs in unexpected places that I've met along the way.
All right. And people are driving, listening to this in their car right now. So give it to them one more time. What's the title one more time?
Clay, Water, Brick. Finding Inspiration from Entrepreneurs Who Do the Most with the Least.
All right. Fantastic. And Jessica, thank you again for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. And to the audience, as always, I hope you got a lot out of this. If you did, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave me a review, do all those great things we do to support our podcasters. I really do appreciate it. And Jessica, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you.